Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. If you're ready, say amen.
Amen.
All righty. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Don't be terrified. I bring you great news of good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest." Can you imagine? Just a great company of the heavenly host. Angels up there singing, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." Isn't that a great picture? It says, "When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.' So they hurried off, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told." Lord, we come before you this morning. Lord, some of us needing to hear from you, to be touched by you, to be changed, Lord, our situations, our souls, Lord. Lord, we lift up your work, Lord, your word, your promises, the challenges of our lives, Lord. We ask that all those might come together this morning, Lord, and that we might see a change. And we'll give you praise for that in Jesus' name. Everyone said? Adam Lanza, I believe, is the young man's name who shot all those children at Sandy Hook Elementary. I heard that, and I just, as the news began to just become unfold and become more clear, and to hear that this guy had, who's messed up, who's got Asperger's disease or something like that. He doesn't feel any pain. And he doesn't have any, some messed up kid. But there is evil. And this is a challenging world in which we live. And I heard that news and my heart just sunk. And I thought about, you saw all them kids running. Little Jose, Claudia, he's like, what, 5, Jose? 4. He could have been in that classroom. David could have been in that classroom. And I cannot imagine, I really just cannot even fathom going to your child's school to see whether or not they're alive. Oh. That in a moment, so many lives just radically changed forever. The kids that heard it, the kids that hid the closets in the one room, and the guy came in and said, "Where's all the kids? They're in the gym," and then he shot the teacher. Lives transformed in an instant. We're in a series called Christmas Changes. And those lives were changed irreversibly on this Christmas. Christmas does change everything. This first Christmas changed the lives of Zechariah and Mary and Elizabeth. And we're in the third series on this Christmas of changes. And we're going to take a look at some shepherds today. And Zechariah's life and Mary's life are radically transformed because of choices that they made. I mean, Zechariah could have said, "Nah, not interested." Mary could have said, "Oh, are you kidding me? You know how complicated what you are laying? I mean, come on. Pregnant by the Holy Spirit, I'll tell you what, there's going to be all kinds of drama that is involved in my life. I don't think so. Why don't you find somebody else? I know a girl that I went to school with. She'd probably be happy to do this." Now, they didn't do that. Zechariah and Mary moved into the plan of God. They had a choice to make. The parents at Sandy Hook Elementary, they had no choice. The radical transforming change in their life was forced upon them. Savagely forced upon them. You look at these shepherds, they got a choice to make. You come in here this morning, you have a choice to make. You can say yes to God, you can say no to God. Some people will say yes and some say no. And why is that? Why are some people just not open to the plan of God in their lives? And some are just too busy. Some are their own king. How about you? What do you do with the plan of God, the opportunity of God? See, some of you have embraced God in your life. I talked to Richard about becoming a member a couple weeks back, and he said, "You know what, I've been thinking about that, and I think I want to do that." Some of you, Tommy showed up today, we're going to train that fine-looking man to be an usher back there. Some of you guys are in, look at Mike Seward up there singing. And Richard back there running that soundboard. Some of you guys are grabbing onto the plan of God and just running into it and embracing the plan. Some of you folks are here and you're just sitting on the edge. Why is that? Why do some people just embrace the plan of God for their lives and some people just kind of always be off on the side looking in? Choices we make. Choices that change. These shepherds made some choices that changed their lives. You come in here this morning and you can make a choice that will change your life. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right, let's take a look at this. All right. Take a look, chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree. Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town in Nazareth in Galilee. It took about a week to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because it belonged to the house and line of David. And as we open up our text this morning, we see that Joseph is making a trip. Caesar had called for a census. Everybody needed to be counted. Do you know, everybody, not just in Israel, but everybody in the Roman world had to be counted. Do you know why? Because everybody had to pay taxes. That's why he wanted to count it. How many of you guys like paying taxes? None. Oh, Roki's going, yeah, taxes are cool. All right, that's good. It's good to pay taxes because we're supposed to render under Caesar what is Caesar's. Amen? But you would think that there were some people who might like to not go get counted. Right? Just kind of go live on the in the black market or kind of, what do they call that when you kind of, wait, I don't know, I'm drawing a blank on. But just kind of, you know, just kind of live in the shadow. I'm not counted. I don't got to pay taxes. So, but why would you go? Because if you didn't go, the Romans would come and kill you. That is like an immediate response to your choice. Amen? How many of you guys know what that is? That is a red light photo enforced intersection. How many of you guys are going to just try and blow through a red when you got that sign up there? You've tried it? Knowingly? No, no, no. Because when you see that sign, it's like, oh, I am. There's going to be immediate ramifications. I'm going to get a ticket in the mail. It's going to be like what, $400? More? 500. Who's got 500 bucks? Oh, no, no, no. That's why we don't go speeding through there. Now, how different is this sign? Surgeon General's warning, smoking causes lung cancer, heart disease, emphysema, and may complicate pregnancy. I know we got some smokers. I used to smoke. And you know what? I didn't care one bit about that sign. Why? Because the ramifications of my choice was down the road. Right? And so, yeah, get around to it. Now, so often, we take a look at the choices that are inflicted upon us by the government, police, and we act a lot more like that. We think about God stuff like that. Oh, yeah, God. God's plan. You know, it's just going to happen down the road. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Oh, yeah. And see, it's like, as Joseph said, you know, you better get down to Bethlehem and get counted. It was like that. As if you don't, you could end up dead. I'm going down to Bethlehem. You can smoke for 40 years. I might end up dead. I'm going to keep on smoking. Sometimes we think of God's plan like that. Choices about God's kingdom like that. And if we thought about the eternal the way we do about the natural, we might all be a little bit closer to the center of God's plan. Amen? Amen. Amen. All right, let's continue on. All right, he went there to register, Luke chapter 2, verses 5 through 7. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in the manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Joseph goes to Bethlehem, and Joseph takes Mary. Now, you would think that possibly, Joseph was thinking about leaving Mary behind. Problem with the child. Child wasn't his child. How many of you know that could be a problem? You might just kind of struggle with that fact. Amen? Amen. Amen. He went. He didn't struggle with going, but he was struggling with taking Mary. I don't know. God helped him with that choice. Sometimes you got choices, and you might be getting ready to make a bad choice. The Lord will help you with that choice. Amen? Amen. Angel, I'll tell you what, angel visits. This angel is busy. Amen? I mean, you got angels. We're talking about visiting the shepherds, visited Elizabeth, or visited Zechariah, visited Mary. Angels on the move. And he shows up to Joseph in a dream. After he had considered this, what? Divorcing Mary. He said, you know what, girl? You know, I don't want to embarrass you or nothing, but kid ain't mine. I'm just going to, we're just going to just move on with our, I'm going to move on with my life. You do with your life whatever you want. I mean, we're just not going to do this. And he says, but after he considered doing this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary home as your wife. Because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name of Jesus, which means God saves, because he will save his people from their sins. Quite a dream. Can I get a witness on that? a life-changing dream. Now, even having this life-changing dream, Joseph still has a choice to make. You're gonna follow that dream, you're gonna own that dream, you're gonna move into the plan of God, or are you gonna just say, I don't think so? Because God's not gonna make you be part of his plan. Can I get a witness on that? Right. Some of you have found that to be true. You've blown off God, and he just says, I'll see you later. Enjoy that tumultuous life you're gonna have for a little while. Can I get a witness on that? I used to listen to a guy. You guys know who Raul Ries is? He's a Calvary Chapel preacher. And I heard him preach one day, and he goes, you ever see somebody walk away from the Lord? Yeah, I saw a guy, he walked away from the Lord, saw him 5 years later. Guy looked like he had aged 20 years. That's what, you want to walk away from the Lord, he'll let you do it. He's not going to make it easy on you. Amen? So he didn't force Joseph. Joseph made a choice. And that choice included some complicated things. Like he's going to have to go explain to his dad what's going on with Mary. Dad, hey, I saw an angel in a dream, and Mary is pregnant from the Holy Spirit. Yeah, son. Because dad didn't have no dream. Amen? Now, brothers, sisters, oh, yeah, Joseph, okay, okay, we got that. How complicated of an existence is that? But God never said he was going to make your life easy. He will let you into his plan, and it'll get better. Amen? How many of you walked in from the parking lot downstairs this morning? Really? Put your hands up high. Everybody else came in the front door? My wife is lying in church. Wow.
No.
Oh, you came in the front door. Okay. I'll tell you what, why I'm asking is the fellowship hall has been painted light blue. Oh, and dark blue. And it's got chair railing and got new floor base molding. It's got all that stuff. And it was the dream of Ann Simpson. And she desperately wanted this done for the Christmas Day feast. Now, she's not even planning on coming. They got family stuff going on, and that's fine. They got their son and his new wife is coming out. They got all kinds of Christmas Day stuff. But she said, you know what? We have to get this done for the glory of God, for that banquet. And she's been painting all week, along with Mike Henson, who he's our finished carpenter around here, putting up all the chair railing and all that stuff. George and Angelo have been painting like crazy. Christina was here painting one day. And I believe Karina was also here one day painting. And you know what? What? Oh, yeah, Gail was there. Thank you for that, George. And you know what? That dream to beautify the house of God took some effort. Joseph to follow the dream where the angel had spoke to him took some effort. You're going to make a choice. It's going to change your life. It's going to take some effort. Can I get a witness? Amen. All right, let's continue on. Opportunities to join in. See, today, if you're not in, you got an opportunity to join. Richard back there wants to be a member. He's already back there working like crazy at that soundboard. Angelo and George just became members. They're working like crazy in the kitchen, not just painting. Doing all kinds of Johnny. Been ushering for years and years. Tommy came a member last week. We're already training him to become an usher. There is good stuff that is going on. Guess what? It's going to take effort. Amen? All right, let's take a look. We're going to go talk about the shepherds now. There were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared. He's busy. Angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terrified. Tell you what, they didn't have no lights back in the day. They just had maybe like a little fire going on. And I think, man, the angel shows up dressed in lightning. I think I'd be afraid too. Angel said to them, don't be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy. How many people want that kind of news? I want the great joy news. Yes. I bring you great news, good news of great joy that will be for all the people today. Today, right now, in the town of David, a Savior has been born, already happened. And he is Christ the Lord. He is the Messiah, the one that you have been waiting for. And some of you have been waiting for the Lord to step into your life. I want to let you know that he will step into your life this morning. It will be complicated. You have to make a choice to let him come in. Then you got to make a choice to follow him. Can I get a witness on that? Amen. All right. This is a message for all the people. All the people. He shows up to a bunch of shepherds. They were living in the fields. How many of you live in fields? No one. You know what? It's not the greatest place to live. Amen? No, it's hard to get AC out in the field. It's hard to get running toilets out in the field. It's hard to get running water out in the field. It's hard to get a refrigerator plugged in out in the field. Amen? You know what? Back in the day, it wasn't much better to live out in the fields. These guys were just trying to get by because it wasn't the top of the education ladder that was drawn into shepherding. How many of you guys may be looking for work? I know Claudia out there, she's looking for work. Who's looking for work? You might say, you know what? I'm ready right now to take any kind of work that comes along. There's some people had a real problem with working fast food, right? Now, you know what? I had no work in a while. I will take some fast food. Been to McDonald's lately? Those people are hustling. Can I get a witness on that? They got no spare time, man. I tell you, going to Albertson's over there, nobody's sitting around chatting. Everybody busting their tail. Everybody trying to get by. That's who God shows up. I kind of like that because many of us are just trying to get by. Many of us are trying to find jobs. Many of us are facing a little bit of desperation. And to these desperate people, an angel shows up and says, I got some good news. It's for you and for all the people. Now, oftentimes, that news is most grabbed by those who are a little bit desperate. Amen? Why? Because you're looking for an opportunity. When you're desperate, when you're looking just to get by, man, you are looking at every... When you got too much going on, when your belly's full, when your place is good, it's easy to get a little bit tied up in what you got going on. Can I get a witness on that? Bible says how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. Why? Because they're too busy. Got too much going on. Barrier. Busyness is a barrier to entering into the plan of God. You know what else is a barrier? It's an easy one. Sin. Sin is a barrier to entering into the plan of God. Talked about those people sitting on the edge of the plan of God. Well, you might be on the edge because you ain't willing to let go of that little bit of sin you got in your life. I don't know. I kind of want the plan of God, but I kind of want this little action I got over here on the side. You know what I'm talking about. You did that before, right? You got to let go of that thing, and all of a sudden things start to change. Amen? You let go of that sin. And the Bible calls letting go of that sin, it's a two-stage process. Number one, you got to confess it. That means that you agree with God that what you're doing is wrong. I'm doing wrong, Lord. And then the second component of being set free from that sin is repenting of that sin. And that means you're going to take that thing that you're holding on to, you're going to let it go, saying, that is bad for me, and you are going to walk away. That repentance means you're going to do an about-face. And some of you wonder why you've been sitting on the edge of the plan of God for a long time. Because you won't let go. That sin will keep you out of the plan of God. Amen? Last thing, I got one other thing. Some people just don't want it. You don't want it? What I am talking about right now is just a bother to you. What I got going on right now is just a waste of time. I wish he would just shut up so Jeremy can get down there and start cooking because I want to get out of here. I just don't want the plan. So, you can. Three things. One, you can be too busy, you can be in sin, or you can just not want. If that's you today, you can make a choice that will change your life. This Christmas. Amen? All right. Number two, or B here. God's offer is real. The offer I talked about, that offer to you right now is real as it gets. It says, this is going to be a sign to you. You're going to find a baby wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to whom his favor rests. The angel offers proof, a baby lying in a manger. All right, how many of you women have ever had a baby? Hands up high. High. Beatrice, you had a baby? There we go. Let me see that hand. You had a bunch of them. All right, how many of you have ever, you like that, huh? How many of you have ever wrapped your newborn baby up in a blanket and set it in an animal trough? Hand up high. In an animal trough, like a dog bowl, like a cat litter box. No, kind of, you know what? Back in Jesus' day, moms didn't do that either. And so, when the angel said, this is going to be a sign to you, you're going to find a baby lying in a manger, those shepherds are going, I ain't never seen nothing like that before. I ain't never heard of anything like that before. This is not something. This is going to be a sign to you. You're going to find a baby wrapped up in a blanket, laying in an incubator at Scripps Memorial. Oh my, what are the chances of that? I mean, man, you walk in there every day. There's 50 babies in an incubator sitting there wrapped up in a blanket. You know, but hey, you want to find one wrapped in a manger? Oh, God's on the move. Amen? Amen? Come on now. Now, why? Why? Did God set that up? No. That is a picture that is unique. God didn't paint that picture. God knew it was there. There's no prophecy that says baby's going to be born in a manger. It is a picture of the smallness of man. It is a picture of the smallness of the family of Joseph, that there was no room made for a 9-month pregnant woman. And God did not run. God did not paint that picture, but he didn't run from that picture. In fact, he steps right into it. He says, I can identify with that. And who does he bring the message to? Shepherds. I have preached on this a bunch of times. These guys lived with animals. And he says, you go see your Savior. He's laying down next to animals. Do you think they might identify with that? Do you think they might go, wow! This is something I gotta figure out. Because if anybody knew about laying down with animals, it was those shepherds. Does that make you think? Not a picture he painted, but not a picture he runs from. God can relate to us. Imagine the picture in Sandy Hook. God reaching out to parents whose lives have been savagely transformed. And them crying out saying, he killed my child! And he would reach out. And he would say, they murdered my son too. I know. I don't know what you're going through this morning, but God does. The Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews that he is able to relate to everything that you've ever gone through. He can meet you here. You can choose to grab onto the plan of God, the salvation of God, the forgiveness of God, the transformation of God. And you can be transformed. Amen? Let's go see. Angels are gone. Heavenly host is gone. The light show is gone. And they are all alone. Let's go see. When the angels had left them, they had gone into heaven. The shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. Let's go see. Let's go see if this is real or not. They were all alone. Everything back to normal. They had a choice to make. Stay where they are or follow the plan of God. That's the choice you got. That's the choice that you got every day. Follow the plan of God or stay where you are. Some too busy. Some involved in stuff they shouldn't be involved in. And some just don't want it. Choices change us. This Christmas, you can be transformed in the same way that the shepherds were transformed. I would imagine, it does not say in the text, that there were some that stayed. You ever think about that? Pete, go ahead. I'm just going to kick back here. I had a long day. I'll watch the sheep for all you guys. You guys go ahead. Go on into Bethlehem. Hope everything works out. Bad choice? I mean, not sinful choice. He's doing something good, protecting the sheep. The other guys can go. Wolves going to come, do all that kind of stuff. Yeah. But not the best choice. Can you imagine missing the Messiah? John! Dude, it was just like the angel said! In a manger! Huh? Is he still there? Oh no, they took off. One time shot. Some said no. How about you? What have you said to the plan of God? When God comes to your house, when God comes knocking, he says, you've got some stuff. No, I don't think so. I kind of like this. Why do some people say no? Why won't some people let go? Comes to photo enforced traffic, like, oh, we all say yes. Oh, I'm not going to run that. But when it comes to the plan of God, yeah, I don't know. Let me think about it. I'll get back to God. Some of them missed the Messiah. They said yes to the wrong thing. They say yes to Caesar and they say no to God, and we still do it. We say yes to Washington. We say yes to Sacramento. We say yes to downtown, and we say no to God. We say yes to the wrong king. We're more concerned with the immediate than with the eternal. Everybody has a choice. Plan of God or not. We went to a musical last night, went with Gail and my kids and JJ. And guy got up and preached for about, I don't know, 5 minutes. And he said, all those kids who got shot are in heaven. Leon looks at me and goes, is that true, Dad? And I said, oh, I wish it was. Because it makes it so easy, so much easier. Because he's going to wave his hand over the smallness of man and the sinfulness of man. I can't say that's true, but I can say one other thing that is true. Every one of those 24 kids, 26 or whatever the number is, got an opportunity to choose. Maybe you say, well, what if nobody presented them with the gospel? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit would make an offer, say, do you want eternal life or not? Do you want to have a relationship with the King of Kings or not? Why would they say no? Some of us want to be our own king. Jesus said, you're going to save your life, you're going to lose it. You work on saving your life, you work on your action. I'm too busy for God. I gotta make my stuff. I gotta make my rent. God ain't gonna pay my rent. You can work it alone. It's a choice. You make that choice. It'll keep you changed forever. It'll lock God out. I told Leanne, some of those kids are in heaven. I guarantee you. that some of them said yes. Amen? Everybody gets to choose. Last point. Shepherds made it real. Plan of God is real. They hurried off and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning of what they had been told about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all these things they had heard and seen, which are just as they had been told. The work of God and the plan of God can be verified. He's got no problem revealing himself to you. How many of you have ever experienced God revealing himself to you? Put your hand up. If you have not, look around. Look at all these people. Look at Balthazar, Nicole, Aaron, Teresa, going, yeah, back in the back, here I am. You know what? These are all dearly loved people by the Lord, but there is nothing special about any of these people. There is nothing that makes them more special to God than you are. And God has no problem revealing himself. You say, oh, God, won't you reveal yourself to me? And so often the message back is, I've been talking to you for a while. But you've been choosing and you've been saying no. And you go, oh yeah. When you will let that go, you will see God revealed to you. Why? Because he makes it plain to you. Why? Because he wants you to know that you made a good choice. When you die to yourself, you get a new life, and he wants to let you know that you are part of the family of God. Amen?
Amen.
I'll tell you what, These shepherds, they were going back to the fields to sleep. They weren't going to the palace. They were still in their same situations. But they were glorifying and praising God. Why? Because they know God's on the job. And you can go back to any situation you're at. I don't care if you got rent. I don't care what situation you're in. When you know that God is real, when you know that God has his eyes focused on you, Beatrice, you still got to get healed, amen? But isn't it nice knowing God's eyes are upon you, amen? Because he might call you to a mighty work and keep you exactly the way you are. Think about Johnny Erickson Tata. She is a quadriplegic, and she preaches to thousands. International teacher, writes books, people's lives transformed, still can't move her arms, still can't move her legs. Balthazar can get healed. Balthazar cannot. Larry can get sight. How many people have been blessed by Larry's ministry?
Amen.
So God can use you the way you are. But when you come to know that he is on the job, you can get a joy in your life that's not there. And that's what happened. And that joy transformed them, and they began to talk to people about the Lord. They began to praise God in their lives. And as you do that, as you grab onto God, those shepherds that grabbed onto God, their lives were transformed. The choice they made changed them. God, they knew that God was on the job. Lisa, you got to come up here and play the music. How about you? What are you grabbing onto today? Are you on the edge or are you running to the middle? Some of you have stepped into the plan of God, and he has verified himself over and over and over again in your life. Amen?
Amen?
That does not mean that your desperation has been removed. But in addition to your situation, the comfort of Christ can bring peace and direction. And you'll be able to stay out in the field, sleeping with the animal, and praising God every day. Amen? Where are you at with the Lord? You come in here this morning, and I thank you that have done so much work this week, and the kids are doing stuff, and the play people, and all the volunteers are doing so much good stuff. But maybe you are here this morning, and you are on the edge. You need to know that God knows what's going on with you. And you can say, oh, Lord, oh Lord, I trust you enough to put my old life away and take on a new life from you. That's what the shepherds did. Maybe that's what you need to do today. You can make a choice that will change your situation. Choices that change. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for your mightiness and awesomeness and goodness in this place. Lord, there are some of us who live our lives on the edge of your plan. And Lord, we are kings in our own eyes, and we don't want to surrender our choices to you. And we got things in our lives that we like more than you. We got bitterness in our lives that is bigger than you. When you have anything in your life that's bigger than God, you cannot move into his plan. He cannot move in your life. And as long as you hold on to those things, you are losing your life. Maybe you come in here this morning and the Lord is making that crystal clear. And he's saying, my child, it is time for you to surrender your life to me, that I can give you a new life. And you can start moving into my plan, just like Zechariah, just like Elizabeth, just like Joseph and Mary, and just like these shepherds. You're here this morning and God is just speaking to your heart, and he is saying, time to change, time to surrender, time to give your life to me with nobody looking around. If that's you, I just want you to just raise your hand and say, here I am, God. Here I am, God. I give you my life. Find me in this place. Back here. Over here. You put your hands down once I see them. Anybody else back here? I see that hand. Right there, yes, yes. Maybe you're here this morning and there is one issue in your life. The Lord is like blasting it with a loudspeaker into your soul and into your mind and saying, this is keeping you from me. It is clear as day, and it's a message that you've heard before. But right now, it's clear, and right now, you're ready to make a change. You're ready to make a choice for change, and you are going to discard that part of your life. You know what it is? You could write it on your hand. You could write it in your Bible. I know what this is, God. You are speaking right to my heart. I will make this change. I will surrender this part of my life. I'm going to give it to you, and I'm going to wait in eager expectation for the new transformation, the new plan that you're going to give me. And I will trust you enough to do that. God is speaking right to your heart, saying, there is this part in your life that must change for you to progress. Nobody's looking around. I'm not going to embarrass you, but God is speaking right to you. You're freaking out right now a little bit. But you're saying, okay, God, I'm ready. Nobody looking around. Is that you? I just want you to raise your hand up. You know exactly what God is talking about. There. Somebody else will say, that's me. That's me. I know exactly what God. Right over here. Somebody else say, that's me. I know exactly what God wants me to surrender. Back there. I see that here. Anybody else? Last shot. Right here, bro. Right here. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you come to shepherds at night, you come to Joseph in a dream, that you come to each one of us, Lord, that you speak through preachers, Lord, that you speak in the midst of tragedy, for each of the families impacted by the shooting at Sandy Hook, Lord. I pray, Lord, I pray, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you just come by your Holy Spirit, come with the churches that are around, come and minister to them, Lord, and let them surrender their bitterness and pain. Yes. That you would replace it. We'll give you praise in Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen, amen. Lisa's going to sing a song. Let's just stand. If you want to come up and pray, I want to pray with you. And pray for those folks in Sandy Hook. It's too great of a weight for us to carry alone. So just lift them up this week as you would do that. Hallelujah.